Good morning and welcome to BVTV. This week, I thought I'd steer clear of the obvious Brexit vote tomorrow as we're still uncertain of the outcome. Several scenarios exist which Ben Lord discussed a few weeks ago. Another major topic of the past week has been the flattening of the US yield curve, a topic of much debate and certainly one I've talked about before. As this tends to be something the market looks toward as a leading indicator of recession, I thought it would be of interest. But which curve should we look at? Traditionally, the market generally looks at the twos tens curve, one which is currently trading at 13 basis points differential, a few basis points off of the lows of 10. If we look longer term at the tens thirties, the curve has actually steepened, now at 26 from a low of 10. If we look shorter term, the twos fives are already inverted at minus 0.1 from a low of minus 0.9. The 2-year Treasury yield having not fallen as much as the 5-year, with the 10 and the 30 behaving fairly well. So what does all of this mean? According to history, it takes around 2 years between the 2s, 10s inverting to begin a recession. Some are a little faster and others have been up to 3 years. So we are looking at a potential recession towards 2020 or 2021 if we see an inversion. But we don't always see an inversion, and cycles certainly don't die of old age. They usually require some kind of catalyst, be it increasing oil price, perhaps unsustainable asset boom, or weak financial conditions, usually with increasing leverage. Therefore, we should probably be asking ourselves, what kind of a catalyst would cause a recession this time? And why is there such a difference between the yield curve trend and the reasonably bullish US GDP growth data, which does continue throughout 2019? 2018 has been full of these dichotomies. With a lack of distinct catalyst, it's been a combination of individual factors that's caused the recent drop in yields, which we saw the US 10-year back at 2.89 and the Bund yield down at 25 basis points, despite rising German inflation. Increased debt creates the perception of lower inflation going forward and subdued levels of growth despite this incoming data. This is pressuring the 5 and the 10-year Treasury market. But there's also the desire for higher yields available in the US versus other parts of the world, despite the increasing cost of hedging for foreign investors. Looking at bullish factors, we have many indicators telling us that the US is still growing and it will continue to do so. The steepening 10s-30s curve, positive wage growth, increasing average hourly earnings and strong manufacturing data. On the flip side of this, we have other indicators leading us along a more bearish path. Late cycle US, agreeing more with the flattening of the twos tens curve, auto sales have dropped off, inventory on new home supply has reached a 10-year high, US GDP growth starts to fall away in mid-2019, and that perhaps prompts the Fed to take a pause on that hiking cycle. Another gauge of market feeling is the shorter end of the curve. This chart shows us the Fed funds rate, a rate at which registered banks are obliged to deposit dollars with the central bank. You can see this in the red line. A second line, the blue one, shows the 3-month LIBOR rate, a rate at which banks lend to each other on an unsecured basis over 3 months. The final line, the green one, is the overnight index swap rate, a rate that's conducive with a bank's overnight deposit rate. It's almost like a current account for banks. OIS is an overnight rate, so it's not necessarily pricing in the market's projections of rate hikes. Nor does it price term risk, as it's such a short-dated instrument. So the spread between OIS and LIBOR can be a measure of how nervous the market is. It represents the preference for short-term liquidity over longer-term lending. And when there's an increase in risk sentiment, this is not played out in the OIS because it's anchored to the Fed funds rate, but it will play out in the 3-month LIBOR. See the spike in March of 2018 and the one that's happening now. There are, of course, other factors at work here other than just liquidity and term premium, but this spread gives us a reasonable index of fear in the market. With volatility reaching mid-20s and so many individual uncertainties out there, no wonder investors are asking what's in store for 2019. Have a look at the Bond Vigilantes page for Jim Levis' annual panoramic. This year, he's called it Panapanic. It shows you his insights on the market and what he's looking into for 2019. So that's it from me this week. Please tune in next week where Stefan Isaacs, fund manager, will be discussing 2018 and looking forward to 2019. Have a good week.